We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, is trying to explore the themes of love because it's still a mystery as to why I'm single and I don't know if I'll ever figure it out. My guest today is a comedian, actor, renowned impressionist that you have seen on Saturday Night Live. You can hear him on a variety of animated series like Family Guy, BoJack Horseman, American Dad. His new movie, The Blackening, is now playing in theaters.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so excited. The voice you're hearing is Jay Farrow.
Hello. Whoa, whoa. I'm sorry if that didn't live up to the expectations of the entrance. I just came in. I'm like, yo.
No, it's fine.
You're like, it's the greatest. You wait till you hear this voice. I'm just like, yeah, man. I'm in the building. What's happening?
You are here. Jay, how are you?
I'm good. I can't be playing, walking slow, drinking cold water, whatever the hell that means. You know how them Southern guys just give those little phrases that don't really mean nothing. So, I'm good.
I'm walking slow. I'm drinking cold water. You know, things is going all right
hell
here
yeah.
In my neck of the woods.
Hell yeah. How about yourself? How are you?
Pretty good. We're recording this in May. There's a writer's strike, and it feels wild because SAG-AFTRA has also maybe authorized a strike, and the DGA, the Directors Guild of America, they might authorize a strike. You know, it's fun being in this business.
Everything
right now
is on fire right now. You just trying to figure out which ones can you sit around and put your hands up to get warm. That's pretty much what you're trying to figure out. But you know, luckily, you know, you have stand up, and I got stand up as well, and I'm doing so. I'm on the road mm-hmm. performing, so not fully unemployed. You know what I'm saying? We're still.
yeah, not fully unemployed.
Right. Partially,
but,
partially.
It is strange to during the week be like, okay, what am I doing? And then on the weekend, it's like, okay, well, I know what I'm doing on the weekend, but there's no set you want me to go to. There's no lines you want me to learn. You don't want me to hit no marks. Yeah.
I don't have no auditions this week because y'all literally sent me five auditions in a day and you told me at 12 a.m. that I had to have them done by 8 o'clock in the morning. So I have none of that. Okay, cool, word. I guess
okay.
I'll just,
all right.
I guess I'll go smoke this bowl and jerk off.
And that's how I'll just waste my time, just flicking my bean and fingering myself until we get a good deal.
Hey, look, Abbott would be pissed off at me. I've killed so many of my children. There's so many have come out.
Goodbye.
Billions. You say like with a lady, it's just like one or you know a couple or depends on how frequent
yeah.
how much she frequents the D, But for me,
sure.
Every time I'm blasting out billions, I have literally killed dinosaur numbers of children.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't want them, so I'm for that. Kill them before they find an egg.
You don't want them, so put them in a napkin and flush them down the toilet. That's our motto.
Oh.
A motto.
Put them in a napkin. I love it's a napkin and not a sock or something.
It gotta be.
You're like, I'm not nasty.
Yeah, come on now, from the
birds. I gotta dispose of this shit.
Hey, I jerk pinkies up. What are we talking about, Nicole? I jerk pinkies up. I'm from the burbs. I'm from the suburbs. So I'm a little more classy than that. You know?
Honestly, I would pay good money to see a porn of somebody jerking off with a pinky up, being like, oh, I'm about to come, ooh, and then I'll have my afternoon tea.
I shall spew it everywhere, all over everyone's orifices.
That's what I imagined the guy would sound like. That's my suburban.
I'm here with it. So you tour. Absolutely. Do you have chuckle fuckers?
What is chuckle fucker?
A chuckle fucker is a person who is chasing a funny person who after a show is sitting at the bar being like, oh my God, those jokes you told were just like so funny. And like, I really got them. And I think you like understand me. If you want to like come back to my place, I can show you a good time.
Oh yeah. You mean, yeah. People that come to your shows and try to use that as a means to hang out, go to the next spot. And then in their minds, hopefully getting you to their bedroom for consummation.
Yes.
Consummation sounds way better, but consummation. yes, I do have, there's a lot of them, and a lot of them are, it's everybody. It's black women, white women, Asian women, Latino mm-hmm. women, whatever's left. Like, there's just a lot that comes up. So, yeah, they try to use it, but I am not, Nicole, I don't smash my fan, Joe. Like, I don't, like, after a show,
okay.
Yeah, I'm not like, yeah, let's go get somewhere. Like, there's nothing sexier to me than going to my bed alone and sleeping. That is the sexiest shit ever. I get to sleep alone. I don't have to entertain this random person that only eats Flamin' Hot Cheetos and watches Euphoria. Jesus, this is a great night for me. Holy shit. I don't have to put any work in. I sweat a lot. I don't have to excrete extra sweat. Oh, man, what? Oh, that alone made me climax. Let me ask you a question. Speaking of climaxing.
Okay.
You have to see me, Nicole, I'm a freak. You know, I got pray for me. This is I represent okay. this, but he knows what he
yes.
he knows what
the Lord knows the truth.
He knows what I am. Okay. So
okay.
I'll whip it out anywhere. Not designer levels of whipping it out on the plane. I won't do that. Trust me, I have a little bit more reserved. But
thank you. I appreciate that.
But I'll whip it out at places like my parents' house. Like, you know, it was cool when you was living there, but now that you are grown up, it's kind of weird. It's not weird for me. Not weird at all. I'll whip it out. I'll do it, but I'll try to mask it. Like, I try to mask my climax with a sneeze. You ever try to mask your climax with a sneeze before?
No.
It kind of sounds like this. All right, here it goes.
Okay.
And then my mom's like, bless you. I'm like, yeah, you have no idea.
You have no idea what on earth you are blessing. Mama!
Mama, you are blessing. You are blessing de nut. That's what you're doing.
Your mom just thinks you have really bad allergies and you're just coming all the time.
Been sneezing loud all my life. People think I just do it because I'm sneezing loud. No, bitches. I'm doing it because I'm covering up what I'm really doing.
So are you single right now?
I am not married.
Are you dating?
I'm dating. I'm not married, but you know, I am dating, and I'm super particular. You know, because
okay.
you know, I've thought that I had the one. You're gonna say to everybody listening to this podcast, you're gonna say you found mm-hmm. the one at least six or seven times before you get it right. At least six or seven times. That seventh, eighth.
I buy that.
Yeah, about that seventh, eighth, it's like, all right, I've been here. Okay, by the seventh, eighth time, you're just like, okay, whatever's left, I'll take it. Like that's how you feel. That's how you feel. Because it is such, it's not an easy, it is definitely not an easy platform out here, environment, dating. It's really not. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody is disingenuous. People are being spurious with everything. No, nobody wants to keep mm-hmm. it 100 with you. So, you know, I got to say, when this robot revolution takes over, some of y'all might be out of a job. I'm just letting you know. Shoot, well, you can satisfy me and you can cook and clean. Shit, I'm marrying Rosie from Jetsons. Forget you.
Rosie the robot? You trying to get yourself a Rosie?
Hell yeah, I'm trying to get a Rosie, man. Doesn't complain. Doesn't ask me a million questions while we trying to watch the game. Like, who is this? Who is that? I'm like, you should know this already. You should know this. I'm not going to explain this to you. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep up because I'm confused as well. I only chime in during playoffs, okay? I chime in during the playoffs, so stop asking me all these damn questions, please. You know.
You could just power Rosie down when the game is on. Turn her right back on and be like, clean up these fucking chips.
Clean up these chips, and then after you finish at the end of the night, slide that bit right under the bed like ain't nothing happened.
I'm mad you don't even let Rosie in the bed. Nah, yeah, you said you're going to slide her under the bed.
Slide her under the bed.
Goodbye, Rosie.
She'll be up tomorrow. She'll be up tomorrow. She got to work again. She'll be up.
After you got notoriety, like you got SNL in 2009?
2010.
Did the amount of women in your DMs or throwing themselves at you, did that change?
Oh, of course. It was virtually none at first. And that mm-hmm. I was a nobody. I was working at Burlington Coat Factory. Like, people had seen me. Of course, Charlie Murphy took me on a road when I was 19. But yeah, SNL was like that first burst of whatever. Like, of course, when I did BET before that, you know, I did The Package and another thing up there called Spring Bling. You remember Spring Bling back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hosted that 2010.
You hosted it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw Chris Brown, Yo Gotti, Young Jock before the perm. You know, he got the anti-perm now. He got the flip. You know? Like, he looked like your favorite Southern aunt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it looks mm-hmm. like his swagger comes with a mm-hmm. Like, it looks like that's what happens. But before that, yeah, they weren't. Of course, a couple of ladies were like, "Yo, you cute or whatever," but it wasn't to the numbers of folks hitting me up in the DMs after I premiered on the show. I debuted mm-hmm. on the show. You know, it was crazy. But I was in a relationship for 4 years. My first 4 years, damn near on the show. So I wasn't even looking at anybody. Well, not mm-hmm. not till summer 2013. That's another story. I just
What happened in the summer of 2013?
In the summer of 2013, I looked up. That's what happened. I looked up like this. I didn't look. At first, it's like you hold your head down like this when you're in a relationship because, you know, you feel like mm-hmm. a dog. You feel like a dog. It's like, bad boy. You're like, all right, I'm not looking. I wasn't looking in that. But when that leash come loose and then you can start walking around like this, when you see a dog, when he goes like this, he's looking at the world. He can uh-huh. see everything. If he's just going like this, he ain't seeing shit. But like this, I saw all the WAP in the world. It was just a new WAPy world I saw. And I was like, I did not know you made all of this WAP, Jesus. This WAP is this for me? Like, hallelujah. Are you blessing me to have this WAP? You know what I mean? And let me say this too. At first, I thought WAP meant wheelchair accessible parking, my ignorant ass. But
it sure doesn't.
It does not, because my grandmama told me she had one. And I was like, yo, son, yeah. I was like, yo. She was like, I got a WAP, a wheelchair accessible parking. I was like, that's not what it means. I said, Grandma.
That's not what it means, Grandma.
I said, Gertrude, it means this. She was like, oh, well, touche. I got that two for two. I said, Lord Jesus, this is crazy. My grandma just told me she got a WAP. She didn't say that. She didn't say that. She didn't say that.
I wish she did. That would be so funny. Oh, she said, gosh. I got two for two. It's funny that you say that you were looking down because you were in a relationship and on a leash and then like looked up and you were like, oh, there's a whole world that I'm not exploring. Honestly, it sounds like you got out of a very toxic relationship.
It was like, okay, all right. I feel like she didn't understand how toxic she was making it for me. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, in retrospect, when you look back, like, of course, I still, like she's great. I love her, whatever. You know, we're still cool. Mm-hmm. We're still cool to this day.
You all didn't work together.
We didn't work at
it. And that's okay.
We didn't work. And look, sometimes you don't work with people at the time because, you know, your mindsets are different. But, you know, the money and the entity was Jay Pharoah. And it was like, mm-hmm. if you're going to, if you're causing me problems every week, if you're making up scenarios just so we can fight and have something to talk about, well, that's not helping me write my skits and sketches. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
no, it's like, I don't want material like that. I don't want to fight with you to then try to turn it into something funny.
But I will tell you something. When we went on a break and then finally decimated whatever, well, the end of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I did write a sketch based off of me and her problems. What does my girl say? That was based off of me and her. Like, who that bitch? Like, that was me imitating her. And then Kerry Washington did it. Luckily, she came in and she smashed it. But and that saved my job. Ultimately, what was boiling up and what would have happened, a swift exodus from the job if I would have been even more stressed out, that stress of breaking up in that situation caused the diamond to come out of it, and it really saved my SNL career, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is pretty wild that, like, I mean, I just said, it's like, you don't want to fight with someone for material, but then, like, when it does happen and it's magical, you're like, all right, maybe I was supposed to be here. Maybe this shit was supposed to happen. Maybe I was supposed to feel bad for a little bit so then I could have this, like, hugely successful sketch and,
absolutely,
like, have people be like, oh, shit, like, this person's really fucking killing it or whatever.
Yeah.
Life works in such a weird, fucked up way.
Yeah, Lord works in mysterious ways. And, look, he's that's not the only time he saved me in a situation. I'll tell you this. Y'all might not bang with Donald Trump. And listen, I don't bang with all of his stuff either. But the relationship that I had in 2017 with the travel ban, because she was from another country and she kept going back and mm-hmm. forth and she kept trying. And one time she tried to enter the country for the last time and they were like, nah, you can't. She was hitting me up crying, babe, I can't get into the country, all of that. I was like, oh, sorry about that, but make America great again. Click.
Oh, yeah! I didn't know where the fuck that story was going.
I know
I was
you
like,
didn't.
Where is this going with Donald Trump? But honestly, if you don't do that bit on stage, like, that's really funny. It's just like, I don't like the man, but he kept this woman away from me. So,
hey,
okay.
Look, when he did that, I was like, I had to go, hey, freedom, proud boys, what's up? I'm serious, man.
When was your first relationship? Were you a late bloomer, an early bloomer? What kind of bloomer was you?
I was an early bloomer, and then I had a drought for like...
Okay.
I had a drought for like 10 years. Yeah. So, like, I had a girlfriend when I was 5 years old, and then I had another one.
Five?
Yeah. And then I had another one at six, and then it was just like, okay, you can't get no more coochie. And it was like, no coochie for 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I wasn't getting coochie anyway because I was a kid. I couldn't get it up, but oh,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, you were five.
All right, well, eight. Well, 3 years later, hello. Anyway, so eight years old. That's when I got my first erect. Crazy, wow. All right, so it was a drought. I'm not joking.
Uh-huh.
I'm dead ass.
Okay.
It was a drought from 6 to 16. And then when I was 16...
I love that you say a drought. It's like, man, he was just growing up.
Nah, man, nah.
There wasn't no drought.
Like, yo, but I would say this, but the ladies, like, they liked me earlier. Like
uh-huh.
earlier. Like, I was getting attention. Like, they was calling me like Lil Will Smith. Like, I had my little box. Like, I used to look like Will Smith back in the day.
Uh-huh.
I had my box. I had my LA gear pump ups. I had my BK Knights. I had my overalls and my little, you know, my little part and my little kid and play part. So I was, you know what I mean? I was,
mm-hmm.
the teachers was on me. You know what I'm saying? So what do you expect? You know, so I like, you see what I did there? It wasn't the teachers. I'm joking. It was not the teachers. Shout out to Miss
okay.
Butler. Oh my God. She was so bad. I had a crush on her. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Okay, so uh-huh. it was, I gained mad weight when I was 6 years old, and I think that really had to do with it. Like, I just became super insecure, and I wasn't as confident as I was when I was younger. And that confidence didn't come back until I was, until I lost, like, 75 pounds in 4 months my senior year. And I was 175, I was like 250, I went to 175,
mm-hmm.
and then it was back on. But I got my first kiss
Big Papa, my first kiss as Big Papa
when I was 16 years old.
Uh-huh.
That situation didn't last because I was a bitch. That's why it didn't last. In retrospect, no, like I was really, I was a real caring, like, gentleman, all of that, like, really would, you know, I was a type, I would give you flowers, I write, like, little nice messages. Women, they ain't like that, so they don't like that soft shit. So
some do.
So okay, some do, but yeah, that's after she gets fucked over like 20 times, and then she'll go for that guy. She'll go for that dude that's like nice and sincere. She's like, after the miles are ran, that's when I'm ready to give you the used car. And then, you know, that's when you know
the
what
used
I'm,
car.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm ready to give you the used car.
So like, you know, girls don't appreciate that until later in life. But I had all of those qualities of a 39-year-old good husband at an early age, like at like 8 and 7 and stuff. I was just thinking like that. I was really thoughtful. So yeah, I was a bitch, in other words, and I called too much. Like, I got a number, and I remember I don't know why, because I was so excited. I had never got a Jones number before like that. You know what I'm saying? So so I would call up 5 minutes, hang up, call back another 5. Like, what the fuck? What are you doing?
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
Yeah, you bugging the jaw. So I didn't know because I didn't. It was all new to me. Yeah, now you'd be lucky if I hit your ass. Ha! You'd be lucky if I hit your ass up every other day. You'd be lucky.
No, you got Rosie the robot under the bed. You don't need to call nobody.
Got Rosie, got her, and got all of the Sailor Moons up in. Listen, man.
All of the Sailor Moons.
We in here.
Sailor Mercury, Sailor Mars, Sailor Jupiter.
Okay, we know that's just another word for porn stars. Come on. Okay, what are we talking about here? I'm just joking.
So when you lost weight, do you think you got more confident?
Swag.
Because you said when you were heavier, you weren't confident.
Nah, not at all.
So you lost it, gained a little confidence.
Yep. And started, and the cycle started over again. Like, the cycle start like 17 to 18, I remember, because when I was 18, I got into another relationship with this girl who was a blood and a stripper. God, oh my God. And she didn't tell me that till 3 months into the relationship. But I was such a punk. I was like, okay, it was MySpace, man. It was MySpace. You got to stay away from no MySpace pages. But I was getting so many numbers. But I was just, it's just because I was going up and talking to people. The aesthetic, like, I still looked the same. I was just skinnier, and it was just the confidence level was boosted. That's all. I probably could have done the same thing when I was heavier, when I had the same results. But
you just didn't have the confidence.
I didn't have the confidence. So it's just confidence is the thing that drives the world. If you look like somebody, you act like somebody, you talk like you're somebody, you carry yourself in a certain way, it's like people will naturally flock to that. That's what it's all about, you know?
I agree with that. Because I think a lot of people get caught up in what they look like, but it's like, it's just truly how you fucking present yourself. If you, like, it's like the fake it till you make it type mentality. It's like, look however you want to look, but also you can look the way you want to look. You just got to work on it or whatever.
Yeah.
But also you can be a heavier person and have confidence. Like, that does exist.
Absolutely.
Real quick, Jay, we have to take a break. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops, and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DateMe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DateMe.
Bebop, boobop, boobop, we're back.
Okay, let me ask you this. When did you discover, I'm sure this is a question you've answered 100 times, and you might be sick of answering it, but I'm going to ask anyway.
What was my first?
Wait, no.
What was the question? What's the question?
No. I want you to ask what you think I'm going to ask.
I thought you were going to ask me when did I discover that I had the knack for impressions? Is that when you?
Yep.
Six.
Yep. It is.
Six years old.
It's an annoying question, no. But like impressions are hard.
Listen, I will say this, okay? And I've learned as I've gotten older, first of all, you know, you could do something 2 million times, right? 2 million people, mm-hmm. 2 million people could have seen it, but there's still like 98 million people who haven't seen it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If we're talking about statistically, if 2 million people have seen something that you have done, then you still have what? 8.8 billion people to market to. You know what I'm saying? Like that. 200 million people see
you. I'm not a scientist.
No.
I don't know. There's a lot
numbers.
Of people. No, I'm kidding. I get it.
But it's, yeah, like there's like 8 or 9. Isn't it like 9 billion people here? Or 8.9 billion people?
Something like that. Too many. It's crowded.
Yeah. Shit. Look, happened during COVID. It was a lot of COVID babies. A lot of people. Wasn't nothing to do but drinking.
A lot of people.
Nothing to do but drinking. And smash.
Yeah. Make them babies.
I would have said smash because, you know, YouTube has definitely taken my mouth and flipped it. You can't even say that. On TikTok, Nicole, I just crossed, and they about to take TikTok, you bastards. I just crossed 1 million followers on TikTok. And now they're talking about taking it away, but I can't even say half of the things that I can say freely up there. If you say Negro, they'll take the stuff down. Oh, that sounds too
really?
Much like the N-word. Yeah. You can't say the N-word up there. It's certain. They just take they take certain parts of speech, but then they'll let you say, oh, but I got a good pussy. I don't understand it. I don't understand
that
it.
That is interesting. I guess maybe it's because like the algorithm can't tell who's saying what word,
right?
But then if you say you got a good pussy, that's okay. So
right.
I guess I kind of get it, but also it feels like it is stifling Black people's free speech.
Absolutely.
It feels like another gate for us to cross. Like
they're trying to block
yeah,
us.
It's gatekeeping.
It's us. Yeah, they're trying to block yeah. us. But back to the original topic, because I know we both probably have squirts of squirts. spritz of ADD or ADHD.
I do. I have very bad ADHD.
Me too. Me too. But I can get back. I'm a functioning person with ADD. Functional ADD head or ADHD, whichever one you want to choose. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. It's all under the same umbrella.
But you realize that somebody could always be seeing what you're doing for the first time. And when that person or those group of people could see it or they see it, those could be your fans for life. So I would be remiss if I don't do what people they have known me to do. But to give them a little extra in that, I'll definitely give them extra. There's a lot of the critique now. It ain't even a critique, but it's just what they say. They say, we didn't even know. We were just expecting you to just do impressions. We didn't know that your jokes and your comedy are great. Like, but I had to work on that shit. So being an impressionist, starting out from the age of 6, like who else was an impressionist early on? Like your Eddie Murphy's, like Jim Carrey's and all of that. You pick up a lot of characters because, you know, you're observant. You pay attention to the world. So it was Gilbert Godfrey, and then it was half of Robin Williams, and it was Sally Field, and it was Tom Hanks and Forrest Gump. Well, I'll say Forrest Gump. I did a Forrest Gump impression, not Tom Hanks, but just Forrest Gump. And then it was cartoon Looney Tunes. It was Ed and Eddie. And then it was Sesame Street characters, and then it was celebrities. And then by the time I was freaking 16, I had at least 75 of them bitches down. You know what I mean? And then I just kept I kept going. And now look what I got. I got over 200. I got voices. I do so many, I forget voices that I do.
You can do 200 different voices?
Over 200. I'm not lying.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah, I must really not like myself. Jesus. Grew up there was a lot of self J. Farrell hate, Nicole Byer, when I was growing up.
I gotta get out of here. I gotta figure out who else I am.
Oh, man.
I'm 200 different people. That's wild. What is your, this is, again, a question I'm sure you've gotten so many fucking times. Who's your favorite person to do?
I don't even have a favorite impression to do. Like when people ask me that, when they ask me that question, I just use it as a gateway to do other characters that they probably haven't seen me do. You know what I mean? Like, but before it was, they were like, who's your favorite? I would be like, oh, I guess, I was like, I don't know, the Joker, and I just do that because, you know, they didn't see me do that.
Because they haven't seen you do it.
Yeah. Or I'll do it with now. They're like, who's your favorite? I'm like, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. I love that one.
Hello, Murray. You see, they just think we'll sit here, that we won't werewolf. Like that.
That's what I use it for, you know, just to do voices that they haven't heard me do.
Has anyone ever asked you while having sex to do a voice?
Yeah. I got Richard Pryor one time. That shit was crazy. The shit was older, like,
did you?
I did it.
I said, shit, man, I'm tearing this motherfucking, I'm tearing this coochie the fuck up. Shit. God damn, man, this shit. Shit. It's hot, it's warm, it's soft and shit. It's like putting your wiener and a warm donut.
Like, just shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, she liked it, though. She was like, oh, I love Richard. I was like, all right. The last time I'll be picking from the church after parties.
That is such a specific kink. That is so funny that she was like, I get off on Richard Pryor, and the ultimate would be someone doing an impression of Richard Pryor inside of me, and then fucked you and was like, this is, that woman's never gonna come again.
No.
Like, it's just never gonna happen for her. You did it, that's
she
it.
She hasn't. She sent me the spreadsheet. She hasn't. There's been a lot of people, they've tried. They've tried, but, you know, some other half-ass impression that she had, it didn't work. You know what I'm saying? Oh, God.
Didn't work out.
Didn't work out.
Like, I gotta go get the real thing.
I need Shay
Farrell.
Man,
that is fucking funny.
That's real. I'm not even being serious about that. I, I, I remember that one. I do remember that.
I love that. Can you do Gilbert Godfrey as Iago? Is that annoying that I'm being annoying?
Here we go.
I'm molting, Jafar. I'm molting. If masturbation was a crime, I'd be on death row.
Like, you know what I mean? Before what I did, puberty, it was just, you know, it was great before puberty.
Do you just do voice? I would be so immensely entertained by myself. Do you just like sit at home and just do voices sometimes?
Absolutely. But that's training, you know what I mean? But also, I'm in here not only doing voices, but I'm also in here going over jokes, talking to myself, laughing. Ooh, I think that's funny. I got no damn audience.
Yep, I do the same thing.
You just like, I think, do you have it? Does it hit you sometimes when you have a joke and you're like, it hits you in the pit and you're like, ooh, I think this is really funny. And like 9 out of 10, when you say it on stage, it will have the same effect. Like it will work.
Yes.
Like you just know it in your gut. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. I sometimes will think of a joke and be like, I think that's really fucking funny. And then kind of hold on to it and then do a show, be backstage and be like, is this idea funny? And then whoever's backstage will be like, yeah. And then I'll go on stage and say it. And then the audience will laugh. And I'm like, okay, I was right. All right. Let me just sit down and try to like beat it out.
Yep.
See if I can make it longer or whatever.
Yep. Shout out to you. A very good Netflix special, Madame. I was pleasantly surprised and happy to see you up there.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much.
Hey, I pay attention.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to see you in The Blackening. I've seen trailers. I've seen bits and pieces. And the cast is so fucking funny. And I think you're so funny. So I'm very excited to see it.
Thank you. I think that this movie is gonna push the needle. Because everybody is gonna go out and see it. Like, you know, they're calling it the best post-horror comedy film since Get Out.
That's great.
Like, that's what it's a great concept. It's a great concept, yo. It's like, it's a cast of black people. So what you gonna do now? Like, you know what I mean? Like, who's gonna die first? So it's such a fun, it was such a fun character. I think Dwayne Perkins, he did a good job too, man. And everybody.
Dwayne is so funny.
Yeah, he's really, really funny dude. And, you know, he's even making more strides in the industry right now. So it's crazy that he's making strides and then now we're shut down. But I mean, when everything gets settled and business deals go through and, you know, the workers can, we do get what we're fighting for, which is, I think it's just residuals. That's just one of the things that we want is residuals for these streaming platforms that are only paying flat rates. I think when the world opens back up, he's going to do even more damage, you know. And I plan to do more damage too. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it. Me too. I want to do damage as well.
Do some damage, yeah.
How did you get into acting?
That's the first bug that kind of bit me when I was 8 years old. You know, we were doing this play at my school called Mice and Mozart. And I remember the gentleman who ended up playing the gentleman, the kid who ended up playing Mozart, it's like a gentleman.
Uh-huh.
The
esteemed 12-year-old gentleman.
No, I'm telling you, the way this dude talked, like he was already destined for greatness. We ended up becoming best friends like years after that. And then he moved away. That really hurt because, you know, he was like one of the few friends that I had. But when I saw him playing Mozart, I said, I want to do this because I was just in the chorus. I was like a mouse with a big butt. I remember that. I saw my butt. I was this mouse. We had on these black sweatsuits on and little safety pin tails. And then we had the mouse ears and we were singing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was up there doing his thing. And I was like, yo, I want to be that guy. I don't like this shit. I want to be him. So so after that, I went out for Pocahontas in ninth grade. And I remember, I will never forget this, Nicole, because when I did that play, I did not learn all of the Powhatan lines. Like I had a problem with learning lines. And I remember my teacher, Mr. Sammons, he knew that and he still put me up there in front of the people. We did a show for the parents, and I was the one, I did the show for the parents as Powhatan. I stayed in character, but I didn't know my lines. So there was kids behind me whispering. They were in the back feeding me my lines. And I was like, oh, and we will not club you today, John Smith. We will not club you today, John Smith. Like, they sat back there and they got me through that. But the reason I'm telling you this, because there's another story attached to this, all right? So after that, I vowed I would always know my lines like the back of my hand. I will always do that. And I continued to do the theater and the acting thing. And I got better. And I did Hurrah Players, which was a theater troupe in Norfolk, Virginia. There was a lot of people came out of there. Grant Gustin came out of there. Emmy Weiler, I think that's her name. There's so many of us that came from that area. And I kept doing school plays. And I remember my 11th grade year, the lead dropped out. I'm not going to say his name because he would take this clip and put it on his page because he's a fame hoe. But he dropped out of the play 2 weeks before opening night. And my drama teacher, shout out to Miss Schuler. I love her to death. She's retired now. But she said, can you do it? And I said, yeah. I had 2 weeks. I got every line. And that year, I won best actor and all of that. And opening night of that play, Mr. Sammons was there. He was sitting in the audience. And after I went out to the lobby and was signing autographs, he came up to me. He's 5 foot man, because now I'm about 6 foot. You know, he's a little short dude. And he was like, I always knew you had it. I just wanted to bring it out. I said, wow. Oh. It was such a good story. I was like, man, I wanted to kill you back then, but I love you now, man.
I mean, that's fucking lucky. I feel like a lot of people don't have teachers in their corner who believe in them.
Yeah.
Because it's like, sure, it might have seemed like a setup at the time to be like, oh, you don't know his lines, I'm going to send him out anyway. But it's like, you learned.
Yeah.
You learned, you got to learn your lines. And then you learn your lines. And then look at you now.
And even to think back when he was doing like story time and he would read in different characters' voices and how enamored I was in that, watching him do that. And that's when I started doing that. Like, you know, the kids would love for me to read because I would always switch up the characters and have different voices. And like, I'm seventh grade, my teacher, Miss Horniman, God rest her soul, because she was like 70. So, and that was that 1999, 2000. That was 99, 2000 years. So she probably ain't here now. If she is,
she probably gone to the Lord.
She probably went to the upper room. If not, she's in a nursing home with bed sores or some shit. I don't know. But anyway, this is how raw my comedy is now. I played Scrooge, and the kids, even though that was the most arduous year for me as far as fitting in with kids, because I moved school districts in seventh grade, but I moved to three different schools in 3 years. It was like sixth grade was a different school, seventh grade was a different, eighth grade was a different one.
Yeah.
You know, when I arrived at the school, they were like, why are you talking like that? I'm like, who talking like what? Like, you know, I had to.
I'm speaking like a thespian. How do you all speak?
How are you supposed to say that? You're supposed to articulate. And so seventh grade year, trying to fit in, I was getting joked and all that. I was big boy or whatever. But that year, as far as laughter, it was my funniest year. And just me diving into that character and people really liking it, that's when it started. Mm-hmm. It really started that year. Yeah.
Real quick, we have to take another break. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake.
The right to control your body and get the healthcare everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves healthcare. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yay. So you started doing stand-up when you were 15 years old.
Yep.
So were your parents bringing you to clubs, or were you just going to clubs by yourself?
At first, like my first performances in front of people, my parents weren't even involved. You know, like auditorium, being at school, going up in an auditorium, making people laugh like that, performing in the back. In the back of my church, and like this, we had like this living room type setting, and all the kids would be in there, and I'd be up joking around, talking. But my father put me in a competition when I was 16 years old. That was the Virginia Idol talent search, and out of that, I got fifth place out of like 300 people. It was really good, you know. Mm-hmm. There was 4 singers ahead of me. I don't give a damn what you say. A joke ain't gonna beat a note. That's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? I know Chicago.
I think you're right.
Chicago tries to put it together, jokes and notes. It's like, yeah, but yo, you got to know that. Like, yo, Seth, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going against Patti LaBelle when you're there to see Patti LaBelle. I'm not gonna do that. You know what I'm saying? You want to see somebody kick their shoes off. My toes are not favorably and aesthetically pleasing. I mean, let me stop joking. Okay, they're gorgeous when I pedicure them. But
when you're taking care of them bitches, uh-huh.
When we on a rough little run, when we just on the road there, and we need a spa day, like they look. You take off the shoe, Jason might come out my shoe. You don't even know who you gonna see. But damn, okay, back to what we were saying. And then at 17, I was going to clubs like Thoroughgood Comedy Club in Virginia Beach, a Bayside End Comedy Club. The Funny Bone didn't let me in until I was 18 years old. They were strict on that. They were like, well, you can't come in here until you're 18. So I just kept performing around. My parents would drive me around. And when I was 18, I started going to the Funny Bone by myself. And I remember my father coming to one of my shows when I was 17, before I went to the Funny Bone. And you know how they do these competitions sometimes, they're based off of crowd reaction. So I had all of my family in the building, you know, they came to support, you know? So when they were doing voting, they were like, yo, make some noise if you want this person to win. Make some noise. You want Jay to win. So it was all me. And I remember my father saying some shit. He was like, yeah, you better be glad we come to your shows. I was just like, I said, so what you saying? You trying to just say, what you saying, I'm not funny? Yeah, you just saying, you better be glad we come to your shows for support. You know, that's how you winning. I told him, I said, all right, well, don't come to my shows anymore. Don't come. And I started going to the Funny Bone and working on my shit and hardcore laughs, working. Those are the N-word nights, you feel me? Those are the nights where, you know, it's tough. Like, people, you can get booed off stage. Yes. I never got booed off stage. I always went up there and always performed, and they always liked me. And I was so young. I was the baby. And I remember doing this Cam'ron and Dipset bit that killed. It was just me talking about how they nursery rhyme and just, I did Humpty Dumpty sat and all these different rhymes. I did it to the Get 'Em Girls beat, and that joint would get standing ovations. And I was like, all right. I invited my dad back to the club. It had to be 6 months after I started working there. And he looked and he was like, oh, okay. Well, they're clapping for you. They're laughing. I was like, yeah, man. I didn't need you, man.
I can do this shit on my own. I don't need you.
I don't need you to be the gatekeeper or the judge. Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, I'll accept it. Yeah. It's so funny to me now because I really do seek my pop's approval for shit. And I've gotten that as far as stand-up goes. He toured with me in Australia. And he saw the show I did at the Opera House. He said, I have never in my life seen you that good. It was like, you were on a different level. And I was just like, that's what I've been doing on this road for years now. You know what I mean? But it's so funny because he's the funniest person. My dad is just, he's just freaking hilarious. But to watch him go from the macho dude to now complaining about my mother not allowing him to wear certain shit, I'm like, you just.
How long have they been married?
42 years this year.
Woo, damn.
Yeah, they've been together a while. So, seeing him go from, I like this shirt, but your mother don't like it. I'm like, this was my king. Now you are just a pawn. You are a pawn for the box. That is all you are.
You look at you. Look at you. Really? You used to be the king of the castle. Now you are not the king of the castle. Now you are nothing but a dog in the house. You are a dog in the house, and she runs everything, and you do everything for the box. I don't have to listen to you anymore. You don't rule your own kingdom.
Are you looking for a long-term relationship?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you want
to
be in one?
I would love to be. I would, you know, I'm a bit, I can't, okay. I'm learned. I have a lot of wisdom dealing with as many people as I have dealt with over the years. But I, you know, at my sixth person that I was in the bed with, I would have wanted to end it there. I didn't want to go further, but it just didn't work out like that. However, from the aspect of me being so sheltered, because I'm such a sheltered kid. I was such a sheltered kid. I didn't know anything, you know? And my parents always were trying to protect me and keep me away from everything. So I feel like I needed to get out there and date as much as I got to get those life lessons that I probably wouldn't have gotten if I would have stayed with one person and gotten a situation with them and ended up getting effed over. You know, so it's like now it's I know what to do. I know what not to do. I'm not going to say no to a movie just to hang out with because I got something scheduled with a girl. I'm not going to do that. Business always is the thing that has to come first. And, you know, recreation and chilling is what comes secondary. And if the person doesn't understand that, well, they don't understand the business model of this household, because the person that's paying most of the bills, if you marry me, I'm the one. So you want to make sure that you make it as easy as possible at home for me, so I can continue to think and innovate and break through ceilings and roofs that people said that I wouldn't break through. You know, you have to, you gotta be, everybody has to have the same alignment of vision. And I feel like over the years, I've just dealt with some excessively selfish people. you know, I'll say this, and I could, it don't even matter if they hear it or not. I don't know if they're going to watch this. They might watch it, whatever. But I had set up, this is the last relationship I thought that was going to be the one person.
Uh-huh.
I set it up for this person to meet Michelle Obama. And they said no. They were like, I could see if it was Will Smith. This is what this person said. Like, this level, son, like.
Yeah.
Will Smith, okay. Michelle Obama, though, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's really wild. Yeah.
Putting the people aside, it's like if you gave somebody like a rose and they're like, but it's not a tiger lily. It's like, but I'm just trying to do something nice.
Right.
Why do you have to say it's not X, Y, and Z?
Right.
Why can't you be happy that I'm just doing this nice thing for
right.
you? I think it's really interesting when performers are dating and looking for a partner, because I'm the same way. I'm like, my career is very important to me. So it's not a matter of me giving shit up. It's not a matter of me like making sure you're okay. It's like, are you okay with me going to work?
Right.
Are you okay with me having to learn lines at home? If all of these things are okay with you, then like we'll be okay. But if you're like, you don't pay enough attention to me, then it's like, then this isn't working.
Right.
Because I'm giving you the attention that I can give you.
Right. Right. And it's, and like you're saying, career first, because those opportunities that you do get with those people, like, yo, I could recount a few instances I had, like, where I should have worked with Winona Ryder and done the movie, where I should have done the movie where I had testicular cancer and I was driving around the country late, sleeping. Like, I think Sam Richardson got that one. I should have done Bird Box. Like, there was shit that I should have done. And I'm just like, I blew that because I was being a good guy. Back even before then, I should have went and met Eddie Murphy in 2011 at the Tower Heist premiere because that was my idol. But I gave that up to be like, listen, I'm so loyal to you. I'm coming down and hanging out with you. Like, because at the end of the day, I'm not with that person, but that memory never happened. It never happened because I chose to go another road. So you take all those opportunities, man, and whatever, wherever the person can fit in between those opportunities, they'll fit in between those opportunities. And if they don't understand that, well, fuck them.
Yeah, that's not the person for you.
Absolutely.
Because nobody who actually loves you is going to hold you back from your dreams.
Absolutely.
Like, I would never think to, if I was dating somebody and they're like, oh, I got to be gone for 6 months to dig up, I don't know, a fucking dinosaur, I'd be like, go do it. I'll try to come see you in those 6 months.
Right.
But if I'm working, I'm working.
Right.
And we can figure out how to connect another way. I think sometimes people expect a performer to give up things in order to be in a relationship.
Yep.
And I think that's bullshit.
That's bull.
I think it's just like, what? No, you can have it all.
Yep.
You just got to be with somebody who's willing to be okay with some shit. Are you on apps?
No. I've never, the only app, it's not even an app. MySpace was one and done. After that, no, I mean, Instagram, but that's just sliding the DM.
Swan time bomb.
But none of that shit. Tinder, none of that shit. What is it? Tinder, what is it? But what else is out there?
Tinder, Bumble, Raya,
okay, shit.
Cupid, Field. There's so many.
I've had somebody catfish about the catfish somebody used, saying that they were me on Tinder. I've had that happen.
Oh, damn.
Like, it was, I'll never forget it too, because it was a live show day. And the person hit me up was like, hey, I can't wait to go out with you tonight in Buffalo. I said, fuck you talking about, Buffalo? It's like, first of all, not a knock on Buffalo, but I hate Buffalo. Not a knock on them, but I don't. It's just, you know, they're just, okay, not that I hate it. It's just that
I'm not a fan of Buffalo either. I've done shows and the audiences are interesting.
They're weird. They're weird.
Uh-huh.
They're like, uh-huh. And it's almost like the Hills Have Eyes type of weird, where.
A little bit.
It's like the cool, everybody who's normal, who doesn't have deformities, is in the city.
Ooh.
And then everybody else And everybody else who's like, they're upstate. They're all upstate. And you just like, yo, y'all are the weirdest motherfuckers I have ever been
around. Very weird. My shows had the weirdest fucking vibes. I was like, do you people like comedy? Do you like me?
Yes.
Did you do any research before you got here? And this was a couple years ago where I was like, I have an audience. I just don't think it's here.
So.
It was so fucked up.
So cut to her saying, oh, I can't wait to see. You're not on Tinder. There's this guy that says Jay Farrow, and he's from New York, and it's Buffalo, and he was supposed to go out. I said, baby, I don't know who that is, but don't go. I'll be like, who? And what was this guy going to do when she showed up? What was he going to do?
Yeah, what was he going to do? Be like, oopsies, I guess you got confused.
Did he have a Jay Farrell silicone mask or some shit he was going to put on his face? I just don't. It's so scary now. Because even if you look at AI technology and everything that's going on, you really don't know what's real, what's being broadcasted to you anymore. You have no clue. It's that same saying that Denzel Washington had. He said, he says, if you don't watch the news, you're uninformed. If you watch the news, you're misinformed.
He's not wrong.
That's true.
Because our news is very skewed in a way where certain networks are, you know, telling certain people certain things. And it's just like, nobody's just telling you what's going on. It all has a point of view.
And it's all propped up. And even you think about people being killed. And like, I don't know how much you follow the Bible. I don't know how much you read Revelation. However, Nicole, there are some references, some direct parallels that are happening that are kind of heading toward the things that are coming in there. Like when they talk about
Lord,
they talked about the beast taking a mortal wound and then coming back to life. Now you see on television, they got all these deep fakes and face swaps that they're doing for people. What is to say that they can't take somebody who has a similar skin tone, sit them down on national television, blow their brains out, that person is dead. You think the person is dead because you're like, oh, that's that guy. And then 3 days later, they show him again. Oh, he came back. And it's because the dude never got shot. You all are just being baited by fake shit. It's scary as hell. That's why me and Rosie are going to live out this shit together.
God, now I'm like thinking, I'm like, oh my God, is that how life is going to be? I don't know. All that shit is so scary. I don't like AI. Those deepfakes fucking freak me out because you can just change shit to fit whatever narrative you want.
Yep.
I don't like the thought of AI writing scripts. And I'm like, why do we need AI? What movie have we seen where AI is nice in the end?
Right.
And we're like, AI doesn't fucking take over and murder all of us.
It's not like the plot has happened before, right? Like this is the like iRobot, Terminator, Matrix, even
all of it ends badly.
Is UFOs flying in the air right? There's so much shit happening right now, yo. It's shit. And it's
too much.
What do you believe? That's the question. What do you believe? What is there to believe? That's what it is. So, anyway.
You know, we do have to end, but wow, we're ending on a real deep thinking note. To lighten the mood, Jay, do you have any advice on how to get a boyfriend for me?
I think you should just, do I have any advice? Shit. I say keep being you, and the right person is going to love that shit, and they're going to come into your life, and you'll know that they're the right person. Because they'll quote all of your jokes and the dick, you'll be able to see the dick in the pants already hard because they're already thinking about entering the queen that is Nicole Byatt.
I love that.
I think
some gray sweatpants and a big old dick print. Jay, thank you so much for being here. Oh, wait, I asked all my guests this. Would you date me?
We could go out and chill out. Hell yeah, why not?
Okay. Yeah. Do you have anything you want to promote?
I have the Blackening. That's definitely in theaters now. Check that out, because it's June. Check that out. Also, Spinning Gold is on DVD. That's the Casablanca Buddha Records biopic, another movie I did. That's coming. That's out, so you can check that out. Jeremy Jordan, Wiz Khalifa, Ledisi, me, Jason Derulo. There's a lot of Lindsay Fonseca. There's a lot of heavy hitters in that. So check that out. Also, if this writer strike ever ends, Family Guy, I'm on there, but you can check reruns out by now. And what else is happening? I am gearing up. I am actually going to be shooting my special in August. Yo.
Congrats.
When I tell you, Nicole, when I tell you the world is about to forget about everything that they have seen before, they are about to forget about everything they've seen before. This special, it's poignant, it is it's heartfelt, it's personal, it's real, it's lucid, and also the energy is just so crazy. So I can't wait. I've been working on this for a minute, and wow, I just look out and I see this big dude delivering my Factor meals. That's crazy. Just came there, just dropped them off. I have no more room in my refrigerator for any more of these shits. Like I go on the road half the week, and then they just stack
they
the
just
hell up.
Stack up.
So we gonna have a Factor party.
Where are you shooting the special?
I'm shooting it in Chicago at the Den. So yeah, that's gonna be fuck it.
And are tickets on sale yet?
Tickets are on sale now because it's June. Tickets are on sale now.
Okay.
Yep. You can check. And I hope maybe you can make it down, because I'm telling you, yo, this shit is so, I'm so proud. I've been working my ass off, yo.
I'm excited. I'm so excited for you. I think you're so funny.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You're going to feel real mother lover come out. Oh, boy. Oh, man. It's about to be wops all over the United States of America and in the world. And in a huge part of Romania. Jesus, Lord have mercy. I don't know why I said that. But the first part.
I don't know.
The first part. The first
I like
part.
It. We're going to Romania.
We're going to Romania.
Jay, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you could like it, you could rate it, subscribe. If you write me something nasty hitting on me, I'm running low on these. I've requested that they be short. They could be long. It doesn't matter. But you could write them to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com. Don't send dick pics, because Mars does not want to see that. That's my producer. So this nice person said, I walk across the room to you in the classiest of lounges while you sip a fancy cocktail, and I whisper in your ear, I will tie you up, lube you down, and trib you out of your mind. Then I'll walk away so you can chase me. I don't know what trib means. Mars, do you?
Trib is a term we learned in Ashley Gavin's episode. It's like scissoring when you're rubbing two clits together.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I remember. Jay's into it.
I like that. As long as it ain't pegging, we good. As long as it ain't no pegging. Y'all quit that shit.
No pegging for Jay. Bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by... oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network. So whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.